The title of the book that we're talking about today is Assassinations, Threats, and the American Presidency. And Ron, it's good to have you with us. And I appreciate the opportunity to talk with you in a fascinating subject. Ronald Fineman he specializes in 20th century American history with an emphasis on political and diplomatic history. And he's taught courses at Florida Atlantic University on American history, FDR, the New Deal, all of this. What moved you to the study of assassinations and threats on the presidency?
Well, it all started long ago when I was in college at Queens College in New York City. And I had an English composition course as a freshman, and I had to pick a term paper topic, and I chose the Lincoln assassination. I just found it fascinating. And then the next year, the Kennedy assassination took place, and I guess pretty much ever since, I've always been fascinated by this subject, and I started to do lectures in South Florida about assassinations. And 2 years ago, publisher, Roman Littlefield, noticed on the internet that I was doing these lectures. And they wrote to me at Florida Atlantic University and said, would you like to write a book on the subject?
Wow.
That's out of the blue. And I didn't expect it. I'm retired now. I only teach part-time. I have a lot more freedom. So I said, why not? And I've had a great time the last 2 years doing this.
Well, every writer in the world or prospective writer is jealous because, here Ronald, you're sitting around and a publisher calls him.
Yes, I couldn't believe it.
Okay, let's do a book. Are the assassinations, Lincoln is the first, right? Then we go to Garfield, McKinley, and then Kennedy. Were there threats on earlier, and I assume that they were in our history, on presidents?
Yes, well, originally Andrew Jackson had threats, and one of them, which was not actually confronted directly, was the father of Lincoln's assassin, John Wilkes Booth, Junius Brutus Booth, who was also, like John Wilkes Booth, a well-known actor, who wrote a letter threatening Jackson's life in 1835, and sent it, and never went further than that. But the Tennessee Project, Andrew Jackson Project, has confirmed this is Junius Brutus Booth's handwriting.
Wow.
The thought that the father of the assassin of Lincoln, at least in writing, threatened to assassinate Jackson is mind-blowing.
That is mind-blowing. Was that the first threat that you've been able to determine seriously of trying to take a president's life?
Well, actually, the same year, 1835, there was the direct threat of Richard Lawrence, who indeed came to the U.S. Capitol, where Jackson was leaving a funeral, and he had two pistols on him, and he fired both, and they both misfired. And meanwhile, Jackson, attacked him with his own cane and subdued him.
Okay.
He subdued his own attempted assassin, which
is
quite funny in a way when you think about it.
Okay.
But that was just luck, because the odds that both pistols would have misfired is really, very high odds. So the point is that Jackson was indeed fortunate that it did not happen, but otherwise he could have been the first president assassinated.
What was the complaint with the president?
The complaint was partly, the man was mentally ill, and shows up a lot. He was ranting and raving and acting strangely and blaming Jackson for everything wrong in his life. And most assassins, most of them, although they may have a political, economic, or religious agenda, they basically, most of them are mentally ill. I think a big exception is John Wilkes Booth. It was purely political about the Civil War. He's the only famous assassin other than for being an assassin, because he was a well-known stage actor. It was very shocking that such a person would do such a thing.
We're talking to Ronald Fineman, Dr. Ronald Fineman, and it's Assassinations, Threats, and the American Presidency from Andrew Jackson to Barack Obama. But as far as you can tell, Jackson was the first one that actually was threatened or someone actually attempted to take his life.
Yes, and actually, we can go back even earlier to 1833. Robert Reynolds was the first person to assault Jackson. He punched him in the nose.
That's all.
He didn't have a gun on him. So that's the first known assault of any kind. But he did punch him in the nose and gave him a bloody nose.
In those days, what did they do with these individuals? They arrest
them,
prosecute them?
To mental institutions, except that they, of course, were apprehended and, like Booth was apprehended and was killed.
Right.
But most of them although a few have been actually executed. Garfield's and McKinley's were executed, but others, in most cases, were put into mental institutions for the rest of their lives.
Professor, any kind of common theme in these assassination and threats and attempts that you see out there?
Well, again, mental illness is a big issue, and a lot of times it is, as I've said, political differences. blaming the president for their difficult times, or in many cases wanting notoriety to be remembered in history. And okay. assassins certainly are remembered, unfortunately, but they are.
Okay. Which one stands out to you? Of course, your first research was in the Lincoln, and I guess in one sense, because it was an organized plot against the entire structure of the U.S. government. I mean, several people were supposed to be assassinated that night.
Yes, Seward, the Secretary of State, was knifed, and Vice President Andrew Johnson was supposed to be attacked, but the person who was supposed to attack him didn't follow through,
right.
Thank goodness.
Okay, and so there. Which one stands out to you then?
Well, all of them are interesting, but to me, the one that had the most impact on American history is Lincoln's assassination, not John F. Kennedy's. And the reason I say that is, although both are tragic, of course, is that John F. Kennedy was followed by Lyndon Johnson, who certainly pursued the John F. Kennedy domestic agenda, while in the case of Andrew Johnson, who followed Lincoln, he was a tragic figure in the sense he's seen as near the bottom of our presidents. Okay. In American history. Yeah. And really, if Lincoln had kept his first term vice president, who he chose to replace with Andrew Johnson, a man named Hannibal Hamlin, I know it sounds like it's a made-up name, I think things would have been different. And I do have a chapter on the 15 might-have-been presidents, and Hannibal Hamlin is one of those might-have-beens if
okay.
things had been different.
Okay. I get, because Johnson, of course, we're familiar with Johnson because of Tennessee, an East Tennessee Democrat, which is an unusual thing.
Yes, he was put on the ticket for political reasons. Just as in 1840, William Henry Harrison picked John Tyler, a Democrat, for the Whig ticket, and both did not work out well as far as the parties were concerned. Crossing party lines did not work very well.
So the dramatic change with Lincoln, and I guess ironically in some ways, even though Johnson was a Southerner and worked to defend in some ways, you know, he was just an odd mix of person there. But I guess in some ways, John Wilkes Booth putting Andrew Johnson into the White House was detrimental to the South, or at least that's the feeling.
I would say so, but of course the intention was that one of the other people involved in the conspiracy with Booth would kill Johnson.
Yeah, Johnson, right.
Yeah. And by the way, let's say that had happened. Let's say both of them had been killed.
The
person who would have replaced him, there would have been no vice president, no president. You would have had to go by the succession laws of the time, which made the president pro tempore of the Senate. The next in line, the president pro tempore of the Senate, and it would have been Lafayette Foster of Connecticut, a real unknown person who I write about in that last chapter. Lafayette Foster would have been president, which is so interesting to think of what could have been.
We're talking with Dr. Ronald Fineman, Assassinations, Threats, and the American Presidency from Andrew Jackson to Barack Obama. Are threats then more common today?
Well, certainly President Obama has had more death threats than any president since Abraham Lincoln, and it's constant, and the Internet helps it out, I guess you could say, to make it easier. And there's also foreign terrorism threats, and a lot of people, unfortunately, who have mental illness problems, and they are looking for attention. And no matter how good the Secret Service is, realize, 9 months ago now, almost a year ago now, actually, we had Omar Gonzalez jump the fence and get into the White House while the Obamas were away in September of last year, and that was shocking that that could have happened. So there are issues with protection, and the whole idea one mistake is one mistake too many.
There are some who contend, and I see them on some of the news shows, that there's a deterioration in the discipline within the Secret Service. Did you detect that in any of your research?
Well, it's not even research, just following the news the last few years. Yes, there has been a problem. My gosh. Yeah. And I think it is a problem of morale. It's a question of the stress of the job and the need to do more training. It's a real problem, and they need more Secret Service agents as well. And to control their behavior off the job, too, which I know is difficult. But it's embarrassing, actually, some of the things that have developed.
How many presidents have survived assassination? Jackson obviously did. Guns misfire. Teddy Roosevelt was shot, was he president or campaigning? He was shot
Theodore
one time
Roosevelt
during the speech.
Was a former president running on the third party progressive boom moves party in 1912 when he was wounded, and he had his glass case and his 50-page speech in his jacket pocket, and that caused the bullet to graze him but not hurt him horribly. And he was bleeding, but he insisted on giving his 80-minute speech before he went to the hospital. And the bullet was never removed. But, I mean, it was really an amazing thing. It was like Superman, you know.
Okay.
He said, I'm as fit as a boom moose. He was using the line of the party, and I'm not going to be overcome by a bullet. It was like miraculous, really.
Okay.
And Ronald Reagan, of course, survived the 1981 attempt by John Hinckley.
Okay.
And there have been other presidents shot at that have not been wounded. Franklin Roosevelt was shot at in just 17 days before the inauguration, and had he been killed, John Nance Garner, the vice president-elect Speaker of the House, would have become president and probably would not have pursued what FDR later called the New Deal.
New Deal.
I don't think it's likely. He did not really agree with FDR's ideas at all. And then, of course, we have the case of Hinckley, who shot Ronald Reagan, was actually stalking Jimmy Carter in 1980, and October 1980, we know that, months before he shot Reagan. So in theory, I mean, it's theory, if he had shot and killed Carter right before the election of 1980, Walter Mondale, the vice president, would have taken over, and maybe the feeling of the country, the shock and the upset about it all, would have made Mondale able to defeat Ronald Reagan, and Reagan never would have been president.
Okay.
Possibly. You know,
is there...
It really seems likely.
And I don't know this. Do we have provisions in the law to cover the time between when someone is elected and when they take office if something happens to them?
Well, I mean, ordinarily, like in that case with FDR and John Nance Garner, 17 days before Garner, the vice president-elect would have become the president.
He would have become the president then?
Yes. President-elect at the moment, and then president on March 4th, 1933, yes.
Okay, interesting stuff.
Yeah, I also wanted to point out that that the person who shot George Wallace, and I do talk about presidential candidates, discuss George Wallace, Robert Kennedy, and Huey Long, Arthur Bremer, who shot Wallace, was first stalking Nixon. And had he killed Nixon, or shot Nixon, Spiro Agnew might have become president instead of later Gerald Ford. So that's another interesting turn.
So history hangs in the balance in some odd ways, and it does change. Your feeling is that the Lincoln assassination is the one that changed the country the most?
I would say so. Not that I'm underestimating Ed Kennedy's loss, but I think that the Lincoln loss was more significant on the country. Yes.
William McKinley's death then and bringing in Roosevelt is another key pivotal point, right?
Yes, and what's interesting about that is he had a first-term vice president, Garrett Hobart, another name, huh? Garrett Hobart, like Hannibal Hamlin.
Wow.
And he died in office in 1899. He was very close to McKinley. They were very good friends. And in theory, he would have been kept on the ticket in 1900 if he had not passed away. But he passed away, so Teddy Roosevelt was added, and that's how we got Teddy Roosevelt. Otherwise, it would have been President Hobart.
I guess when you get into all of these scenarios, then it seems fragile in a way, right? I mean it hinges as you talk about, like with the Robert Kennedy assassination, you're taking out, you know, probably the person stood a very good chance of becoming president of the United States.
Yeah, he's one of the 15 I write about in that chapter on the 15 might have been. He's the only one who was not in an office that he would have succeeded, but the thought that he probably would have defeated Richard Nixon.
It would have been another Kennedy Nixon campaign. Wow,
yes.
And that is just stunning to think about.
But, and Nixon was not happy about that, by the way. He didn't like the idea of Robert Kennedy.
come back again. Well, I'm sure it wasn't expected when he gets into this, right? And then suddenly, you know, Gene McCartney starts doing well, and President Johnson gets out, and here they come. It's almost like today everybody is running. I talked about Ronald Fineman is with us, Assassination Threats and the American Presidency from Andrew Jackson, Barack Obama. Mental illness is one of the leading drivers, a need for notoriety. And as you've talked about, apparently some of these folks are intending that they're out to kill someone, and the person that they finally assassinate or attempt to assassinate just happens to be the one that they get access to.
Yes, for instance, I give the example of FDR when he was shot at in Miami, Florida on February 15th, 1933. He was not hurt, but the Chicago mayor, Anton Cermak, was standing or sitting next to him, and he was shot, mortally wounded, and died.
Died, right. And you forget. Those disappear, don't they, from our thoughts, really? I mean...
Unfortunately, but of course, Cermak is famous for having said, better me than you, to FDR. I don't know if I believe he really said it, but maybe he did.
But That is just because like I said, it kind of disappears from news. And as you say, John Wilkes Booth, I guess, and Lee Harvey Oswald, because of our proximity, the most famous of the assassins. But then John Wilkes Booth, is that the most extensive conspiracy that has been in trying to take out the leadership of this country?
Well, in the sense that we believe that the Confederate government was probably in the background involved in it, meaning Jefferson Davis and Alexander Stevens and Secretary of State Judah P. Benjamin. That's what's believed. But it could have been, you know, we're not 100% sure, but it could have been just Booth and his own followers on their own. But I think he was it seems like he might have been inspired and encouraged or involved in some way with the Confederate government as it was failing. Yes.
Yeah. Well, a different day and time. And like I said, history hangs in the balance.
Yes.
Well, Dr. Feinman, a real pleasure to talk with you.
Oh, thank you very much.
I appreciate the opportunity. Ronald Feinman, FEINMAN, Assassinations, Threats, and the American Presidency, from Andrew Jackson to Barack Obama. Are you on the web? People find you there. What's the best way?
Well, I'm on Facebook, and I have an Assassinations page on Facebook
well. Assassinations page on Facebook, or Ronald Feinman, FEINMAN.
Correct.
Professor, real pleasure. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. I appreciate
it. Absolutely delightful to talk with you. This is the Primetime Drive.